Hello. All right, it's working now. Sometimes you have to kick it off and kick it back on. All right. 2 Peter 1. Let's go ahead and read this, and then we're going to approach something today that's going to help us start right into faith. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life. See, pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brother kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So I was trying to find another way to get up a little bit and try to, you know, kind of stir your mind. And it came to me, Dad and I were talking Monday or Tuesday this week. And it kind of struck me on what he's preaching on law and grace. And to me, that's the bottom line. We live by the law. But if we don't have grace, then the law is going to condemn us. Very simple, but very profound. But the law, you can't do away with the law because the law is a schoolmaster. The law is, like I said, it's like this table. The law is like stainless steel. The law is the hardest steel in the world. You do this, you die. You do this, you die. You do this, you die. You look on a woman to lust after, and in your heart, you've already committed adultery. That's hard. There's no wavering to that. All right. There's no wavering to the things in Scripture that we do. But there's a grace blanket that goes over that. That gives us grace if we do make mistakes, because God knows we're human. But we have a grace blanket to cover over that. And then if you don't have that grace blanket, then you have to go back to where the Scripture says in Revelations that they were judged by their works. Well, law is the works. You do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. Because when you go up to the judgment, they said, have I not done these mighty things in your name? Have I not? See, they were trying to work themselves up. But without the grace blanket, they're standing there naked. They're standing there with whatever they've done, that's what they've done, and that's it. Well, that's the law. That's the judgment. But the grace blanket that goes over that, which is the blood of Jesus Christ, we know that. But that's what covers, back in the Old Testament, see, it covered over law. But when you go over to the New Testament, it doesn't just cover sin, it eradicates it. Like Daddy was saying about that you can't be justified, but you can be forgiven because you did do it. But when the real you comes and shows itself, when the real you, the Genesis 1, 26 and 27, when that real you comes and it never done it. It never smoked, drank, lied, cussed, committed adultery. Never done any of those things. That's why Brother Branham said the real you didn't do it. But the realization has to come that real you is inside of you, and it's working on the part that's outside. And that's what we're going to listen to what the prophet has to say. But here's the steps, and I like the way Brother Branham, even the way he preaches his sermons, once he get to about 1960 or 61, when he comes in and preaches the church ages, God is setting a pattern. He's setting a pattern for us to see. Everybody understand that? Each message is a stepping stone to the next one. Okay? Because watch what he says. Now we are approaching the seven seals. We have just finished the seven church ages. And this is a message on teaching that ties the man in. That's going to be redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus and is going to be in that church age. Now, he's not talking about a seven church age. He's talking about an eternal church age. At the end of the seals. Now, we know that we have seven trumpets, seven plagues, vials, so forth, that we get into as we go along, but we're waiting for more room so people can be seated. And I thought this would tie. Get down here. And I thought this would tie in just where I was expecting. I didn't expect to draw this skeleton, but the other day he was in the woods and God drew this picture for him. But I want to get it where everybody can see it. I'll hold it up here for just a minute. But you see, he drew that skeleton, and then Peter didn't have this kind of a structure to go by. Peter just said, add to your faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance. Not thinking about a pyramid, but then when Brother Branham was up in the woods, he said, God, give him this. All right? So you add to your faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, godliness, godliness, brother, kindness, and then divine love. And then being a prophet, he put this in here. Because he said, if you'll read, later on we'll read, Brother Branham said, the Holy Spirit melds all that together, or melts it all together, seals it in. Now you're sealed until the day of your redemption down here. Right? When you're born again, we've been through this. When you're born again, that's the foundation. You must be born again. All right? Then add to your faith, or to your revelation, or to your new birth, virtue. Add to your new birth, knowledge. And that's what he's talking about, because he went through the church ages. He's saying, now we got to do this for the man and then go over into the seals. Everybody got that? You watch him lay a pattern. Then he's got Daniel 70 weeks in there. 1962. All that had to be set in order before he could bring the seals. Now, what's he doing? Like Dad and I were talking the other day. You can't just have baby form faith. Listen, this is a foundation for the rest of the whole Sunday school. You can't have baby faith and have a total revelation of the seven seals. Can't do it. Brother Branham was right here when the revelation came to him. Now, how are you and I going to be any different? Oh, yeah, we got a revelation that Brother Dale's got a revelation that Brother Branham had a revelation. That's our revelation if we're down here. If we're here, it becomes our revelation. Not meaning you're not a Christian down here. Sure you are. There's untold billions. If there's going to be a billion Christians in the world, there's going to be a billion Christians that's never been at this place right here. Right? Right? All through the church ages, they never reached, even the first people, Peter, Paul, James, and all those, they were right here at Brotherly Kindness. They never had the headstone or capstone revelation of the seals. All right? But see, you hear everybody, and even people in this church, they go, well, I want to know about the seals. Well, have you got this yet? Have you got all these virtues working in your life? Has this come to you as a revelation that the seven seals are what they are? Or are we just saying it was a revelation that Brother Dale had that Brother Branham had? White Horse Rider was the Antichrist. Woohoo. That's easy to read. That's just being able to read the quote. But you see, right here is why this is important. I believe that's why the Lord impressed on me to come back and start over again on this, because we've been through this before. But really, this time, it's got to be in order, just like what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said, you got to get the church ages. Know what age you're in. Know what revelation come to your age. Then, what does he say right there? The body, the man. Got to bring the man in, the outside guy. Because what's the seals for? The seals are not for the cleansing of the soul if you're born again. Right? You don't need to be cleansed in the soul. You need to be body. So what's Brother Branham doing? He's bringing from out of the church ages. They didn't have that revelation. So he preached to church ages. Set all these in order. Set all the characteristics in order. Everything's in order, so we know that's the foundation. All right? Then he comes, and just what he said a few minutes ago, go back to that again. And this is a message on teaching that ties the man in. that's going to be redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus has not got to die again. You got to see what he's already done. He's got to come out of the church ages, though, because watch what he says. And it's going to be in that church age, not the seven church ages he just preached. No, because he says that eternal church age at the end of the seals. Now, we know that we've got trumpets and vials and all that so forth, but we're waiting for more room, in other words, to preach it. But what we need to do is quit honing so much on, we got the letter of what the seals are, right? We got the letter. We've had Brother Dale preach it. We've had Brother Branham preach it. We've had several others preach it, hit on it, and do a very good job. But it's got to be a personal revelation, all right, to you. But before we need to know, before anything, now we can have a knowledge, and you can have that laying there dormant. Okay? You can have it laying there dormant in your soul, because you got everything you need there if you got the Holy Ghost, right? But we limit the Holy Ghost by what we, remember? What we take in. We limit it. Filters, flues, all that stuff, okay? But Brother Brown's wanting to tie the man in. Why? He's wanting everybody to turn and look at the actions and reactions and the man and what the man does and how the man works and all these virtues that we're supposed to have working in our life. Then he talks about this Holy Spirit coming and sealing it all in. When I see you're sealed until the day of your redemption, if you're born again in your soul. But Ephesians 1 says you only have an earnest. This is the down payment. Then God gives you a payment book. It's got seven different payment books. Seven different pages in a payment book. You know how you get a payment book if you make a payment on a house or something? Tear that one off and you write a check and put it on there and turn it in, right? Because you're making payments on the earnest money that you put. Well, the earnest was right here. But the Bible keeps going on in Ephesians and says, until the full purchase possession. In other words, when that title deed to that house, you're always real nervous while you're making them payments because you miss four or five and they're going to come get you, the house, anyway, not you. Right? Right? So you're a little nervous about that. But man, when you got that deed in your hand, that's a title deed to redemption. When you've got that title deed in your hand, sure, you've got a potential of it here. Earnest. Until the full purchase possession, which is what? Body, spirit, and soul. Because see, here's where the seals comes. Divine love. That's where the capstone revelation that was lost down through time that nobody knew about except the Lord Jesus, and it came to Brother Branham. Then it has to come to me and you. Can't be just his revelation. But we got to have this working first before God can make that 100% working in our life. Because we're going to go through this, and you keep watching the points. Brother Branham said, you get up this far and what? Fall off. Get up this far and find a crack. Get up this far, what? What's he doing? You're building up to here. Well, now, if Brother Branham had any cracks, sure, he had little flaws in his ministry that he hadn't seen yet, but when he come to the full revelation, God corrected him, right? Remember, he said, I would have made a horrible mistake because he had an idea that wasn't a revelation. And you can have that going up through here. But once you get to here, when you get to there, when that Holy Spirit comes down and seals that together, because remember, you got to be that God can say, this is why he took Brother Branham out on the mountain, come down with a cloud. He did the same thing like he did Jesus in Matthew 17. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Well, now, that was at the River Jordan. That was at your new birth. When God comes down and gives you the new birth, he says to the world, this is my beloved Son, or daughter, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. But he didn't say, hear ye him, until Jesus, the Bible says, he grew in grace and knowledge, being made perfect. Now, Jesus was perfect, the Christ. But Jesus, the man, was human. Wasn't two people, it's the same person. But that human body had to learn to do things just like me and you did. But he didn't have a different spirit. You and I were born with a contrary nature. He was not born with a contrary nature. So he was this walking on earth in a body of flesh. We're going to read it in just a minute. Because Brother Branham goes to Hebrews 10:5, a body thou hast prepared me. And that's what happened. The Old Testament built a body for God to step into, called the baby Jesus. All right? But listen to my point. Like Brother Branham said, there's a stepping stone. Because remember, there's stones in the Bible, which is Revelation. Then there's a stumbling stone. The Bible says a rock of offense. And they stumble over the stumbling stone, which is the stumbling stones down here, which is Christ. So you got to remember, see this pyramid? This is a pyramid in itself. These cornerstones are pyramids in themselves. So that just grows bigger. And then God comes down with the total apex of what he's always wanted and says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear what he's got to say. Because I'm the one that's talking through him. He actually has come to the place to where he's got virtue, my virtue, God, say mine, not mine. But he's identifying Brother Branham, that Brother Branham's got virtue, like I had virtue when I walked on the shores of Galilee. I've got knowledge. I've given him temperance. I've given him patience. Because these are gifts, right? These are gifts. All right? The problem is we fall in here. And we don't have to start all over, but we have to start at a place to where we have to realize that, God, before you can reveal the seals to me, I got to have these things working in my life. And if I don't see these things working in my life, that's where we need to work, not work up there. First grade, second grade, third grade, we work on elementary things. Now, after the third grade, if you walk up into third grade, after the third grade's over, and you say, I got it whooped, man, I'm going to 12th grade next year. You'd have a rude awakening, wouldn't you? You walk in that 12th grade, and that 1 plus 1 is going to help you, but you're going to see numbers you've never seen before. Right? Same way with the gospel. You're going to see things you've never seen before, and it's what it's going to do. It's going to choke you or stunt your growth. So the best thing for us to do is to leave things alone we don't understand. Put it aside. We've heard it. It's in here. It's in this computer that we have. It's in that computer that's physically here, and it's in the books and the tapes. Now, where did Brother Brown say rapture and faith lies? Books and the tapes. So it's in there. We don't have to go get it from Charles Stanley or James Dobson. No, it come through William Branham. That's my son that I'm going to talk to you with. And he was standing at a place to where that God could speak through him and it would be his thoughts. There was no altering thought of a man's idea. Because that's what Dad's preaching on now. That's man's idea. That's what's killing us. Our own ideas on the Word of God. That's what started in the Garden of Eden. All right? And to be honest with you, there won't be a lot of people get to this spot right here. But who's to choose? Is it for you to choose? You choose whether you do, but you're not going to choose whether Bob does or not. Right? So you got to say, hey, I got to do this. I'm not worried about Brother Bob. If he wants some help, we'll all help each other. You understand what I'm saying? But that's why Brother Bram always said it's an individual affair with God. We're going to go into rapture together, but some's got to go by the grave. Remember we preached on the sixth seal there, sixth seal purging. If you can't come to a purging of true body, spirit, and soul, you're going to have to die because that will be what will purge you from your old man because your old man is going to still be there. The same body that mom and daddy brought is going to be in that ground, but what's going to quicken it? The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. If he be in you, he'll quicken your mortal body and change those atoms into the person you should have been to start with.
Did Jesus in the garden, the body, because it was still a human body, is that why he agonized?
Sure. He never agonized afterward, because remember, after when he raised up, he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. I can walk through that wall now if I want to. I can do whatever I want to do with this flesh body. To me, that's what he was saying. Because he had all power in the Christ that he was. You hear what I'm saying? In the Christ that he was. That's why his name's Lord Jesus Christ. Not just Jesus. There's many Jesuses. But when you put Christ in there, that shows that eternal God. Well, now you and I are a little Christ. When are we going to start putting our names together with that? Not literally. But when are we going to start looking at it that way? That if Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's what Paul said, right? Not another Christ, not a second person, the same person that walked the shore. That's why that Brother Brown told us on all those little stories. He said you need to get into the spirit of the composer. Because I've always said before, if I write a book about my love for my wife, y'all will read it and go, that's good. That's okay. That's good. Wasn't there, but it's a good read. You know, I enjoyed it. It was okay. Close the book. But if I could ever get what my experience was, because I was there, if I could get my experience of my spirit and put it in you, you'll look at it in a different way because you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, not just a good read. Well, I don't want this to be just a good read. It's become just a good read. Everybody can read the message now because you can pull up quotes like this anywhere in the world, anywhere you can get internet. You can pull a quote up. But is the quote being made alive? The quote's got to be made alive. So we got work to do. We're approaching the seven seals. Finish the church ages. Because the church ages was what? He brought all of the foundational doctrines back into the church, right? Because if you read the church age book, that's pretty much everything except like marriage and divorce and a couple of things later on. But serpent seed, one God, no eternal hell. I mean, church age book covers it all. Well, that's what he was doing. He was building it back to where we could do what? Have faith in what we're reading. Do we have faith in what we're reading? Like the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. And it says that it says a little part that we don't read. As the day approaches, more so. So my question is, I'm asking Christians today, do you go to church more today than you did before? If not, you're backslid. I'm reading the Bible. Am I telling you, it's not my quote. If you don't want to go to church more now than you did before, then you're backslid. This ought to be the most important part of your life. How many of us could have jobs that we worked on Sunday and make probably twice what we're making now? I know I could because I could choose a job in my field that I could work on Sunday. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and then these things will be added. All right? So you tell the person, you say, hey, I'm going to, it's like I told somebody one time before, and Dad's made mention about it. I told somebody standing right up there in the right outside. Somebody said they got a job for the glory of the Lord, but they don't want to be here on Wednesday or Sunday. And I said, buddy, God didn't give you that job. You got that job out of your own intellect. Because God wouldn't give you a job and cross what he said in the Bible. You can't cross scripture just to get a job. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And all these other things will fall in line. So if you put that first, that's what I'm saying about, let's get these first. Let's get these working in our life before we start looking at the seals. And maybe, you know what? We may see the seals in a different light once we have the virtues working. Because when we do, then we have then become the one that wrote the book. Because see, nobody understood what that book was, even when it was open in Revelation 10:7. Nobody understood what it was saying. They just said, oh, it's an open book. And John ate it. Well, that's good, but what? There must have been something written on it. Because the angel was very, very adamant. He said, here, take this thing and eat it. Because there was something inside of it. It wasn't just a book. Everybody says, well, we're in the age of the open book. Well, that's good. But there's something in that book that even though you got it open, that's not been revealed. Right? So we need to take that book and leave it open and start turning the pages. Through virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, because that's our guidebook. Brother Branham preached that night After that sermon, what did he preach? That morning he preached the statue of a perfect man. That night he spoke on God of my life. And he went through and told a lot of different things that happened in his life. What was he doing? He was punctuating. He was putting a punctuation or an exclamation point of what he preached that morning. Because he preached the statue of a perfect man, and then he preached the God of my life, or a guide. And he showed how God had guided him up to that place. When he gets to that place, he can come and tell us. He can't tell us about New York if he's never been. I've never been in New York. I can look at pictures, I can read books, I can even Google it. I can Google Maps, and I can look right down on it, and I can say, oh man, what is that? Times Square is a beautiful place. But I've never been there, so I can't tell you. But people that's been there and go, man, they can what? They can give you details. The best way to get there, and the best thing to see while you're there, and the things not to see or not get caught up into. Well, that's the way God is. That's the way God is with the Holy Ghost. He gives you a guide to lead you someplace because he's been there before. And it's not New York, it's a revelation. So we need to walk into the revelation and watch this. Let's go down a little bit further. If I do page down, how far will it go down? Huh? A page? All right, let's look. Right here. Now this is not continuous read. If you'll notice I just took the tag quotes that I wanted to read. Now let that soak in real deep. Not preaching this morning, just teaching this lesson, divine nature. Let me read the fourth verse again so you won't miss it. Whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, by these promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See the world. We've escaped that now. He's addressing this to the church. In other words, one that's already sealed in by the Holy Ghost. All right? And I'm going to use baby form, because it is the baby form Holy Ghost. When you receive the Holy Ghost, it's just like a baby walking. You got to feed it, you got to watch it, you got to pick it up, you got to teach it how to do this. That's what God's doing. He's teaching us how to do this thing. That's why we're here this morning, is to find out what is the way, what is God's requirement. Now, we read this before, but it's a requirement. All right? There's not a person in here that loves God but wants to become more like Christ. Now it's laid out here. Now, if you want to be more like Christ, it's laid out here. He's fixing to tell us the steps it takes to be like Jesus. All right. Every Christian, I'm an old veteran. Look at Brother and Sister Kidd. They're probably the oldest in the building. But I'd ask them, what's your heart desired to be? Closer to God. When you learn of Christ, there's something about him that's so loving. You just try to get right into him. All right. Now, down to paragraph 51, because the people on the internet can't see it. Now, he has given us the outline here what to do. Pretty plain, huh? Know how to do it. Know how to do it. Now, as I said, we're trying to come closer to God. That's why I chose this message this morning for the church, knowing that people are traveling. For last night, I said, how many here is out of town? Then 90% of them was out of town. Those people don't come to church like that just to be seen. As what the outside world would see beauty around this place. They're all common people, poor, ordinary dress, but there's no great anthems or angelic choirs. They have a hard time getting a seat. But they come because inside of them is something that sees a beauty that the natural eye can't see. It's a spiritual eye that catches the beauty of Christ. That's why they come. All right, now you go down to paragraph 61. Last Sunday, Brother Branham preached on the key. Now, what an appropriate way to start the statue of a perfect man is the key. Because the door is there. But unless you got a key, you can't have nothing behind that door unless you got a key. Now, what does he say the key is? Key is faith. The faith holds the key, and the key is the Scripture. And Christ is the door. See, so faith takes the little hinges of the Scripture and unlocks the glories and good of God out to his people. See, so it's faith holds the key that unlocks Christ to the people. If you got faith in something, you got what? Confidence. See, man had not had confidence down through the church ages. Someone would tell them this, someone would tell them this, and same way in the message now. Somebody will tell you this, somebody will tell you that. But when you got confidence that somebody's bringing you the Word of God, you have confidence in that. You can just lay your rest on that. All right? You don't have to be tossed to and fro, the Bible says, by every wind of doctrine. So today we're going to try to take that same key. Now, he preached on the key, he didn't preach on the virtues, he preached on the key, the way to get in. All right? Which is faith, the way to get in. So today we're going to try to take that same key to unlock the way to become not just a Christian, because you're already a Christian. If you're born again, you're a Christian. All right? But a virtuous Christian in the stature of God. That and be a living tabernacle for the living God to dwell in. Remember, God reveals himself in three ways. First, he reveals a pillar of fire. That was the fatherhood. Then that same God made manifest in Jesus Christ, which he built a body, made this body. Thirdly, through the death of that body, he sanctified a church that he can dwell in. It was God above us, God with us, and God in us, the same God. Then he goes through and tells about Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, not three gods. Now, paragraph 67, Statue of Perfect Man. Now, we're going to study his words. Stephen said in Acts 7, let's read. Remember where Stephen was talking about the tabernacle. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he was appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. Which also our fathers had. Our fathers that come in after brought in Jesus unto the possession of the Gentiles, who God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? What is the place of my rest? Now, Brother Branham goes right to Hebrews 10 and 5. Now, tabernacle is, of course, a place where we go to rest, now get freshness and so forth, like resting from sleep or so forth. Now, Hebrews 10, 5 says, wherefore, when he cometh in the world, he saith, sacrifice, that's Christ, and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. What is the tabernacle now? It's a body. God tabernacling in a body. God wants up high when he come down on the mountain. Even a bullock or cow touched the mountain, he must be killed. God is holy. Last evening, when those angels covered their faces, holy seraphims with holy faces, don't even know what sin means, and they have to cover their face in the presence of God, cover their feet in humility. Now, holy God could not condone sin, so nothing could touch the mountain where God was. Then God was made flesh and dwelt among us in the form of Jesus Christ, his Son, his creation. Then that Son gave his life, and the blood cell of God was broken, that the life might come out of the blood to us. All right? Through the blood we are cleansed, and now our blood, our life, which come by living through sexual desire, brought our life in the world. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, changes our nature by sending upon us the Holy Spirit. Then we become into the divine nature of God. Now, that's what he was talking about when Peter says that having the divine nature. He's still down at the bottom of the pyramid. He hadn't went up. He's still down there at faith, right? All right? Change our nature by sending us the Holy Spirit. Then we become into the divine nature of God, comma. Then we become a dwelling place for God. Jesus said at that day, you know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. So you see, and we say, well, we know that our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost and all these things. Well, from what Brother Branham's saying, that's just getting you started. The body comes from sexual desire. The spirit comes from God, but it's perverted because the memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination, that's all, let's just put it this way, that's just all dirty. And remember what we said before. I don't know if you remember this, but remember all that's what's in the past. You don't have a memory of what you're going to do tomorrow. You have a memory of what you did in the past. Your reasoning is not on the future, it's on what you've done in the past. You reason on what you know about, all right, or think you know about. Your conscious, what does your conscious do? Feeds on your past. You don't have a conscious of what you do tomorrow because you haven't got there yet, all right? Now, imagination, you might be able to imagine things, but how does that imagination come from? It's what's built on what's from behind, right? And affection. I can't love something I don't know anything about, right? I can't have affection for something that I don't know about. So it comes from what happens in the past. So all this comes from past stuff. But remember, in the soul, it's either faith or doubt. Cut and dry. And remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen out here. So that's what you got to have faith for. You got to have faith that you can do this. If you don't have faith that you can do this, then you stop the process. It's just as simple as that. You're the one that can make it all the way or not. You're the only one. Nobody else can do it. You got to have faith in it. If you don't have faith in it, then why do it? You got to have faith in that virtue that you got. Faith in it. That's what Peter, he had faith in what he had for the time. He had faith for the time. He had faith in what he had. He couldn't have faith in something he didn't have. So he had faith for what he had because he believed that that's what he had. All right, let's go. See you next Sunday.